Good evening, Twin Cities, and thank you for tuning in this evening to KFAI Radio 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Welcome to Fresh Fruit and Rare Productions. We'll be back with DJ Daddy Rocks and your girl Shimmer in just a second. Here is India RE with Brown Skin. Stay tuned. We have a great conversation coming up with Rocks and Shimmer.
Brown skin, you know I love your brown skin. I can't tell where yours begins. I can't tell where mine is. Brown skin, up against my brown skin. Need some every now and then. People from maybe Mississippi or an island. Apparently your skin has been kissed by the sun. You make me want a Hershey's kiss, your licorice. Every time I see your lips, it makes me think of honey-coated chocolate. Your kisses are worth more than gold to me. I'll be your almond joy, you'll be my sugar daddy. Brown skin, you know I love your brown skin. I can't tell where yours begins. I can't tell where mine is. Brown skin, up against my brown skin. Need some every now and then. Something magnetic pulls me and I can't get out. Disoriented, I can't tell my up from down. All I know is that I wanna lay you down. Every
time I lay you... All right, Twin Cities, thanks for tuning in this evening. Today is Thursday, December 11th, 2025. And good evening, and thanks for tuning in to Fresh Fruit and Rare Productions. And Fresh Fruit is the longest running LGBTQIS2+ show in the nation. And this is also the second Thursday of the month. And every single Thursday at 7 p.m., you get Fresh Fruits. And tonight, of course, in the studio, we have, I'm your girl Shimmer, she, her, Lady Wim, Glitter Pronouns. And I'm super excited because next to me is the one and only DJ Daddy Rocks is in the studio.
What's up, Shimmer? How you doing tonight?
I'm good. It was kind of a long day.
Yes.
I got up at 5:25.
Child, see.
But I made it. I made it in for my show this morning.
Okay.
But I overslept.
But you made it.
I made it. And yeah. That's all that matters.
Does that tell you anything about maybe what you can cut out of your normal morning routine?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you're like, I got here and I didn't do X, Y, and Z thing. Because you had to cut something out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's early. Oh, I can't do it.
And a couple of days ago, I was actually late to work because one of the cats, Mula, decided to jump on top of, I have a little section in my room. It's like a little vanity section. And you know, because listen, I feel like at 2 or 3 in the morning, they be tearing down in the house. They literally.
For sure.
You know, it's like a field day.
They are having a party. It's like everybody's asleep. All the humans are asleep. And we gonna have a party.
And I feel like she knocked over some stuff. And literally the alarm was late. So that kind of really ticked me off a little bit. But, you know, it happens. I mean, I can't really get mad. And I feel like maybe it's their time to just own the house.
Yeah.
Just it's their moment.
I feel like that's not unreasonable. And, you know, we do live in Minneapolis, and so in the evening there's lots of animals.
Uh-huh.
You know, all the mice are running around inside or outside. There's other like bird activity. There's other creatures of the night, and so the, you know, kitty cats are often like stalking. They're like, what's going on?
Right.
Who's where?
Right.
What's happening?
Yep.
Oh, shiny thing over there.
Right. And they're literally like looking at the snow. I feel, and of course, you know, they're squirrel watching, because when they see them 100%. Squirrels, listen, it's like it's game on. 100%. It's game on for the kitties. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, so that was kind of my day today. But I made it and I got through it. So I'm excited about that. That was pretty awesome overall. Yeah. Just here. I'm glad to be in your shamazing presence, as always.
I'm glad to be here with you.
So, and actually, it's 15 degrees. It was supposed to be 18, but, you know, this morning on my show, I mentioned that it was going to, we're going to actually reach the single number zero.
Mm-hmm.
Nada. Mm-hmm. On Saturday.
Yes, it's gonna be cold. It's gonna be cold, Twin Cities.
So I was telling everybody that was tuned in, or those that might know someone that is, you know, forgetful when it comes to like warm weather gear, oftentimes just like myself, to make sure that they have an extra pair of, you know, those gloves, you know, a scarf and a hat. I mean, because not everyone is as fortunate to have that stuff. But I was also talking about making sure that they have a fully charged electronic device.
Oh, that's a, yes, that's a good idea.
If they're going to be en route.
Mm-hmm. Keep your, get your little extra battery thing or whatever.
Yes. Yeah,
that's a really good idea.
I think it's important, especially like with the weather that we're going to be mm-hmm. experiencing on Saturday.
It's going to be very cold, bitterly cold.
Yes.
Dangerously cold.
Dangerously cold out there, mm-hmm. for sure.
Make sure you're buttoning up and doing all the things to protect your little fingers and toesies.
Yes, yes, yes. Super important. And shout out to all of those that are in the Discord chat. Tune in. I see that Mitch is tuned in. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch, what's going on?
And also I see the cute kitty, Cartwheel.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Cartwheel is in the tree.
Okay, yeah, you better come on, Cartwheel.
Okay.
It's your little devious self.
I love it. I love how Cartwheel is just placed in the tree with the lights. So fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so far the weather is going to be, it's been very cold. Today was kind of long, but overall it was a pretty good day. How was your day today thus far?
My day today was also long, but full of like love and celebration. Mm-hmm. I started my morning off at City Hall. Well, not really City Hall. The building that's being used to hold council meetings in right now.
Mm.
Because as some of you may know, we just had an election. And so all of the city council members, that it was city council time to get on the ballot, as well as mayor and other positions. And so so many of our elected officials are, you know, changing seats. And so today was a day to honor some of Minneapolis City Council members who are going to be moving on to other things. And so I got to spend the day kind of thinking about, remembering all the ways in which Andrea Jenkins,
yes,
and Jeremiah Ellison and others have put in on the city council. So I think we had maybe like four or five city council members are moving on. Andrea, of course, is retiring after being up in city politics for the last 20 or so years,
yeah.
I think, because she's had her two terms as a city council member, term as a president, She also was on, did a lot of work under Robert Lilligren and Elizabeth Glidden. And so there were many accolades for Andrea and for Jeremiah and for others on the city council. I'm saying those two because I know those two the best. But I believe Emily also is going off in two other positions. They're like, this is going out of my mind right now. But yeah, I was there to celebrate, you know, Andrea and Jeremiah. I've been a big fan of both of those two amazing community organizers, activists, and an artist. You know, both of those individuals, I sank into with art. Both of them, you know, are politically minded. And so that was another kind of bonus place where I've gotten to do work with both of those amazing, one from the north side, one from the south side, representing deeply their individual wards and constituents, sometimes battling one another, sometimes going together on an idea. Like, you know, I was really proud of our city council today, and there was a unanimous vote on a couple of items, and to come together in a unanimous vote is something that's really, really important, especially when this vote has to do with the safety and security of folks in the city around federal occupation and ICE. And so I was just really proud of our city council in all the ways, and I was very, very humbled to be able to stand up, to be asked to carry out the resolution, because, you know, they often have resolutions for these types of things. And so each city council member got their own resolution, which highlighted some of the accolades that they have bestowed upon our city. And, you know, some of the ones that come off the top of my head, because we are a queer show, so let's focus in on the queerdo of the pack, Andrea. And, you know, Andrea has done amazing things for our city. Whether you agree with all the ways in which Andrea has used her ability to cast a vote or not, no one can take away the fact that she's the first ever elected Black transgender city council member who went on to be the president of the city council. No, that's never happened since in these United States. So that is a huge, huge thing. She also, you know, her ward and the folks in her office created Black Business Week. Every year this is an opportunity for Black businesses to showcase themselves and to talk about their business in a community fair type situation. Really, really instrumental in creating the Trans Equity Council, which also was one of the first, I think, first and only trans equity body on the city council who were working specifically to ensure the rights of transgender, gender nonconforming individuals. And that body did amazing things like create policy that says any new building that the city of Minneapolis builds or purchases must have single stall, gender neutral bathrooms. And that not only serves trans community, it also serves anybody who is a caregiver, whether they're giving care to their parent or their child or somebody that they're doing PCA work with. This gives everybody access to a bathroom where they can, you know, caretake other folks. This is huge. We're only one of the only cities in the country that has such a policy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not only that, but she's just really gone in 38th Street redevelopment, naming street after George Floyd, ensuring that the folks that were in George Floyd Square had the right and the ability to occupy that space. I think sometimes, you know, there's misinformation or unknown information, but council members have a lot of control over their ward. And so even though the street is now open, it does not hold traffic in the same way. And because of the way that Andrea was able to listen to people in her ward, that area stayed closed and locked down for more than a year, 2 years, maybe almost 3 years, where there was only pretty much foot traffic and people who actually lived in the neighborhood. And so I think, you know, this was a beautiful way to celebrate the life and the legacy and the work of Andrea, to be there in her presence, and to really just celebrate the work that's been able to happen in our city. The work that we've done in our city around trans equity has carried throughout our state, making us one of the only states in the United States that is considered a trans refuge state. There's about 4 or 5 states in our union that have gone out of their way to have extraordinary people come forth to ensure that there is equity for everybody, including trans people. And so as a trans equity state, we have lots of measures in place to ensure the rights of trans folks. And now we have trans folks from all over the country coming to Minneapolis because we are considered a refuge, a sanctuary state, and a place where trans folks can have quality of life. Speaking of sanctuary, that's, you know, one of the ways in which I think our city council has done a really, really great job around where we are right now in the timeline of the U.S., ensuring that our city parking lots cannot be used for federal occupation, ensuring that our police department is not aiding and abetting in the kidnapping of individuals, ensuring that, you know, we can serve the people. And so one of the unanimous votes today that I witnessed was creating access, public access bathrooms along Nicolette. This will help serve our unhoused neighbors. That is a bold and beautiful way in which to say, you know, we recognize that there's all kinds of people who call this land that is Dakota land home. And I just felt really proud to be able to, you know, stand in those, you know, sacred marble hallways and be around a bunch of elected officials celebrating the work that they've done together. And, you know, let's face it, our city council has had some tumultuous times over the last few years. And there's been a lot of infighting and a lot of fighting with the mayor and not kind of coming together on a plan. But today it was none of that. Today, even in council chambers, there was a lot of coming to the realness of we can't do any work if we don't have relationship with one another. Mm-hmm. We can't do any work if we don't take time to celebrate the wins, to, you know, pay homage to the folks that have come before us, to hear the lessons, you know, that they learned along their way. And so for me, today was a really great day. It was sad in that, you know, I know that for us as queer trans people, especially queer trans people of color, not having that voice of Andrea, really ensuring that we have rights in our city, makes me feel a little bit afraid. But but a thing that I know about Andrea is that, that she goes in on relationships, and those relationships, when she is in them with you, are authentic. When she's choosing to be in relationship with you, that's an authentic thing. And so I feel really confident that the folks that are remaining on the council, and, you know, don't drag me for this, y'all, but also Fry, had those real and authentic relationships with Andrea, and those things can carry through this next iteration of city politics because of those authentic and real relationships that Andrea gave to us. And also, I think everybody knows that Andrea can write. And so if they not staying on their P's and Q's, they gonna get some letters probably. You know, and so I think, you know, to be able to witness that was just really, like, phenomenal, you know. And I got to be in that space with folks like Anda Groot, who I've known since the 90s, literally 1990s. To share that space with other people that I know love Andrea, through the politics, through the votes, through whatever side you are on, left or right, or this side or that side of a vote or an issue, that if you are in relationship with Andrea, it's because it's a real thing. And I know that there are many times in which my dear friend and neighbor had a different idea or a different way to accomplish a thing, or felt differently about a policy or a procedure or an action that the city was going to take. And I was able to talk to her about those things. And whether we came to the same conclusion or not, I know that she heard me. I know that she listened to me. And I know that she always valued the time. And so I think that lesson for me to share with everybody else is, you know, we can't control everything, and we can't control a lot with our government, especially the way that it is right now. But some things we can control, and those are how we choose to be in relationship with one another. And when you have authentic relationships with folks, you tell them when you don't agree. You tell them when you think that they're wrong. You make space to hear why they're doing a thing the way. And maybe one person or both people have a methodology to change or to inform themselves or learn something new. Whether they change their mind or not, they might learn something new about it. And so I think, you know, that ability to just show up and be there and do the thing is important. Having your voice heard is important, and having the courage to speak up is important. And, you know, like I said, I don't always agree with policy or politicians, and I certainly haven't always agreed with Andrea. But one thing is true, and that is I've always respected her, and she's always respected me, and we've always been able to share our differences of opinion. And sometimes that's great, and sometimes it's really hard, right? And so Yeah, it was just like a great honor to be there. And then the other awesome thing that happened to me today, not today, maybe it happened 2 days ago. I was driving down Hennepin Avenue and I saw this sign that says Salon Nomi.
Yes.
And I said, on my horn, because I was so excited. I am excited for us as queer folks, yeah, as queer folks of color, to be able to take up some space and to be living in a city in which we can actually do that. You know, I just came back from Florida, man.
Ooh, how was it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm always very aware.
Uh-huh.
I'm always like super, super aware that I'm brown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always super, super aware that I'm gender nonconforming there. I feel like I'm always kind of like, you know, having to watch my six. And so maybe I'm just feeling a little bit of gratitude that I don't feel like I have to do that. You know, like right now we do, because it's icy out there, y'all. We got to be careful. We got to have our whistles and we got to be paying attention. But in general, I feel pretty calm in this city. I don't feel like I have to watch my back all the time. I don't feel like I'm going to get jacked for my car or somebody's going to try to take my wallet. Do those things happen? Of course they do, because we live in a metropolitan area. But I don't feel weird in Minnesota. I don't feel like Minnesota's weird. Don't get me wrong. We're weird like Austin.
Yes,
almost weird like Austin.
Yes.
But I don't feel like an outsider here. I don't feel like, you know, people are going to just say things to me. I know that happens. I know people still say racist things in Minnesota, and it happens on a daily basis. But I don't dread it. Like, when I'm in Florida, I know it. I know what's going to happen. I know people going to look at me weird. I know people going to say stuff. I know little kids are going to be like, why are you in this area kind of thing when I'm in my mom's neighborhood or whatever, right? But I don't feel that here. And so I'm feeling kind of grateful about that, actually. And, you know, also happy to be closing down this year.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. How you feeling about the end of the year?
Oh, it's, you know, it's been a really tough year, but I'm glad that it's coming to an end. I feel like it went super fast, for sure.
Mm.
It definitely has gone by fast. I feel like it just started, but it's definitely been long. It's been crazy. It's been overwhelming. And I feel like I'm missing doing my art. I feel like I haven't done any shows. I haven't done any fashion shows. I haven't done lip sync battle. And I am missing it. I feel like, you know, there's this urge, this desire to get back into the realm of what I love to do. Because I feel like for me, oftentimes I have a lot of anxiety, so I overanalyze. You know, I worry about everything.
Yeah, girl, I know you do.
I overanalyze about everything. I panic. Like, I feel like if something goes wrong, it's not going to be great. And honestly, like, I'll just share. I feel I had to step back from the art community here because I feel like I've been unappreciated in the sense of, like, a producer and a creator.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's like a bad thing to say.
No.
But I feel like as someone, when you were just talking about being in Florida, you having to watch your every move, I feel like here, you know, I just want to create greatness and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often been told no many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people want to, you know, say things, they want to do things that are hurtful and not so great. And so I just feel like as an artist, I just got tired of it. And I feel like it was just weighing on my pride and my heart and my mental health. And
child, that's so real. Especially when they tell you no. or there's an excuse why something can't happen. And then in 6 months or 3 months or next week, you see those same people doing the idea that you brought to them. It's so disheartening. It's so disheartening. Well, you know, I think one thing is for sure, and that time is time. And this coming up year is going to be the 10-year anniversary. So I feel like if you want to do some kind of Prince fashion show, that we can get behind that. And I feel like a lot of people will be excited for that. You know, I met a friend in Atlanta. And that friend is like, in my phone, she's actually saved as Super Prince fan.
I love that.
Because she just loves Prince, and she's come up to Minnesota several times to do this Prince celebrations. When I told her the idea and how you've carried that idea out, she was so excited about it. And so I feel like you've done it enough. Enough people know about it. I feel like we should be able to fund it, especially since it's the 10-year anniversary and it's an original idea. I was thinking about you around fashion the other day because Anne and I were watching this, some show. I don't even remember what show it was. And there was there's a gay guy who has some gay sheep. And they said this statistic. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but I want to say it's something like 30%. It's a higher number. It's not 2%. It's like, it's got some weight to it, you know, of goats, not goats, sheep are gay.
Really?
My goodness. Like gay, of the male population of sheep, there is a high percentage number of sheep who are gay. And because the gay sheep aren't really interested in procreating with the girly sheep, they are sometimes given away or put in rescues or slaughtered. And so there's a gay farmer who's begun rescuing the gay sheep. And all the gay sheep live together on the gay farm with the gay farmer.
I love that.
And guess what the wool that they make is called?
What is it?
Rainbow wool.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm you know, let's go get some rainbow wool and let's make some fashion with it.
How interesting it is that you're talking about this, because I don't think we can really talk about their, you know, their item on air. Yes, I love
it. Somebody in the Discord put a sheep with a bunch of rainbow like emoji coming out of it. I love it.
Mitch.
Okay, thanks Mitch.
Yes, I love that. But I feel like I know what you're talking about. So there's this couple, if I'm not mistaken, they actually have this item that they sell on one of those stations that people call in order, but I feel like I know what you're talking about.
I'm like, I want to get some gay wool.
Okay.
I want somebody to make me like some of those, like, I've never been a super fan of knit stuff. Like I was born before the 70s. And so in the 70s, there was a lot of knit, a lot of macrame. I wasn't ever really with it. Like, I remember my friends having like little knit type halter tops and bikini tops that they would wear. But I was never into it because it's kind of itchy on my skin. But I would totally rock a cute little like crochet onesie kind of thing, or like a little two piece set. Yes. I don't know if we got any crocheters out there, but if we do, I'm down for it. I need some outfits, some wardrobe changes for the Power to the People stage this year, because it's going to be the 25th anniversary, Shimmer. Can you believe that?
I can't believe it. Rox, you would look so handsome.
I think you would look so handsome.
I think I could rock it. I'm doing the famous Eartha Kitt.
Yes, you are.
Rox, you would look so handsome in that.
I think I could rock it.
Absolutely, you could rock it.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I want to see you on the runway. I want to see you in a fashion show, because you would kill it. You would slay it.
Now, you know, I used to walk runway.
Really?
Oh, yeah, when I was a little youngster.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was a youngster, my brother and I had modeling gigs with the children's clothing company called Jack and Jill.
Really?
Yes, honey. We worked and twerked that runway, me and my brother Doug. Yes, we did.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. And I can't remember if we got to, I feel like we got to keep some of the outfits maybe. I don't know. I'll have to ask my mom if that's real or not. But yeah, we did that. We did that several, like, I even have a newspaper cutout of us, like, it's back to school time.
You got to show it to me.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
you would rock it. You would kill it. You would slay it.
I feel like I could.
You would rock-tastic it.
I feel like it.
Rock-tastic
it. I could walk the runway.
It would be fabulous. You would look so handsome, for sure.
Yeah, I might have to get a lesson. I might have to get a refresher lesson.
Oh, I can't wait. I want front row tickets.
Okay, well.
I love it.
Well, maybe you could get one of your fashion designers to, you know, create some looks for me. Me, Kevin and I were actually talking about this on my other radio show. And Pookie was hanging out in the audience with us on the live. And so I said to Pookie, you know, maybe you could do some outfit designs so that we have an assemblance of an ensemble, so that we're all kind of like matchy-matchy. Everybody that's on the stage, managing the stage, the DJs, the MCs, me and Anna, and we can all, you know, have outfits that are, you know, that coordinate. We don't have to be completely matchy-matchy, but if we can coordinate, that would be cool.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. That'd be fantastic.
I feel like we got like 6 months, so I feel like, you know, we should be able to get a couple of outfits each. And I figure between me and you and Kevin, you know, I don't know who else is coming back on the stage. Maybe Erica will come back to help do stage management or perform, or Annie, whoever's going to be back there managing with us. I feel like it, for sure, me, you, and Tadao need to, you know, have some outfits so we could do some more changes. And
yes,
we can coordinate with one another.
You know, I love that, because, you know, I like to always come cuteness and shemazingness both days.
Yeah.
I like to have my hair, my accessory pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like we should just put an open call out right now for all queer fashion designers in the Twin Cities. We could do it like... we need some outfits, and whoever comes up with the best outfit design for us will have a prized position in the purple ones. Either, you know, either they're like a judge or they're like a celebrity designer for that day, and they get all the accolades, because I feel like we need at least one wardrobe change per day, so that would be a total of 4 outfits each.
I'm ready. Yes. Mm-hmm. I would love that. That'd
be
awesome.
Who's up for the challenge?
I know definitely we have some really dope queer fashion designers out there. And I feel like amongst our listeners, I'm sure there is someone of a someone who knows a listener or someone in their network.
I know that's true.
That might be a queer designer.
I know that's true. And plus,
for sure.
Plus, as the creator and producer of not one, but two different fashion shows, you have a host of not only designers, but also models. And so I feel like we should just put everybody on blast right now and be like, get ready, because we got some fashion needs coming up. One of them will be the 10th anniversary of the death of our beloved Prince. And the second one will be Power to the People.
Mm.
I heard an interesting content creator talking about the beloved purple one today and his relationship with his first wife, Mai Tai.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It was a little scandalous, you know, because they like met when she was 14 or 15.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. A little scandalous. They didn't really get together till she was of age.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I mean, you noticed because you read the book, but, you know, at one point, Prince became her guardian. That's kind of... So, yeah, the royal purple one, everybody know he's a freak, and everybody know he's, you know, expansive with his sexuality. And I think from what I read in the book and what I know just from pop culture, I don't think anything sordid happened, like she was underage or anything like that. But, you know, when you're attracted to somebody, sometimes you're attracted to somebody.
Right.
They got married. They had a baby. Yeah, so this content creator was talking about why there will never be a Prince documentary. And he was saying that there's, you know, a lot of trauma and a lot of heartache around that. And so, like, if you can't tell that part of his story, that he was married, that, you know, him and his first person had a kid together, and then that kid didn't make it. If you can't tell that story about somebody's life, then it's really hard to tell their story, you know. And I was like, oh man, that's hard and that's rough. That's a big loss. That's a big loss. Speaking of Prince, child, have you seen JoJo from Vogue Down Minneapolis performing lately?
I saw something on Instagram.
Ooh, child.
I saw something on Instagram.
JoJo whipped out that Camille character.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't nobody's business.
Yes.
You got the buttless pants.
Okay.
They actually have, you know, fabric sewn in there. So
right.
You don't actually see the butt.
Yes.
But I watched a few little performances, this emerging character, and I'm fascinated. He's working it out. JoJo is working out Camille and the whole yellow Prince outfit.
It was iconic. You have to look it up on Instagram because it was fabulous.
I would say iconic was it. I watched it a few times, and each time I was like, yes, it was good. It was good. It's bitterly cold, as we already have spoken about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a whole month since we've been together. And since that month went by, we've had Thanksgiving, we've had our first major snowstorm, and we've had an invasion of ice into our city. But what's bringing you joy right now, Shimmer? What are you thinking about? What you working on? What you dreaming about for 2026?
Oh, gosh. I am thinking of just celebrating family and friends and just really trying to be as close as I can with them. And I am really excited about getting some travel going.
Yeah.
Here soon.
Yeah.
And I am really, I got back into a little bit of my journey of laser. So I had laser surgery a couple of years ago. And I think I've shared this with you, but before my transition, I, you know, obviously had, you know, that 5 o'clock greatness of a shadow. And, you know, of course, people always want to clock you, right? And I feel like it really, it was very hindering in my personal, like, self-motivation and self-worth. But I actually, for a long time when I was sharing this with Nomi and with you and other people, I'd always wanted to get laser hair removal. And about a couple of years ago, I saw a story with a sister in community, Miss Brandonna, who was sharing a beautiful story and really just touched me and really just gave me a good kick in the, you know what.
But to get motivated.
Yeah. And so I went in and me and Bestie Best went on this journey together. And I remember we went there and had our consultation. And I'll never forget the day that them lasers touched my face. Yes. It literally felt like thousands of just flickers of like rubber bands against my face. But listen, I mean, I came out fabulous.
Yes, you did.
And here's the thing. I've been bullied, talked about, scrutinized my whole life. But you know what? I went in there and I was a bad bleep under the laser because guess what? I did not cry. I literally was like, you know what? I am like a girl on fire. I felt like I just wanted to listen to Alicia Keys' Girl on Fire. Ooh. And literally, it's opened up my confidence. And I feel like so fabulously sexy.
I can see that. I can see why, too. You are fabulously sexy, Shimmer.
Thanks. I don't often feel that way, but thank you. But it was such a proud moment in my personal journey. And I feel like I am 10 times more confident about myself than I was before. Because
that's real.
I would put piles and piles of foundation on, because oftentimes you and I have had these conversations many times of, you know, that was like a facade. That was a way of me to, you know, to capture my femininity and to really just hide what was not making me happy.
Right.
And now that I've had my laser, I'm like, I don't really need to wear it anymore. Thank you. And actually, last week, I went and got touch-ups because I found some little pieces and particles, and she got me right together. So it was fabulous. And I don't know. I just feel like every time I'm like, ooh, laser, it hurts like a, you know what? Okay, yeah. That's what I'm going to say. I ain't going to lie, because it hurts. But let me tell you, and then you come out and you literally feel like you're like this red lobster, like you literally.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone that is needing or is thinking of this journey, I definitely say do your work, but, you know, do what's best for yourself. And also make sure you get a big, huge bottle of aloe vera.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Yes, because it is kind of like a little tiny mini burn.
Yes.
It basically burns your hair follicle off.
Yes.
Yeah. That's but real.
And also, I think this year, I just am really wanting to get being more mindful of my health, you know, because I'm learning that slowing down is okay. I'm learning that being tired is okay. I'm learning that self-care is important. So I'm just really wanting to, like, cherish my self-care. And I just want to get back into being an artist and creating again, because I miss the arts. I miss it so much. I love doing fashion shows. I love all of that. So, and I just love being on radio. I love doing fun things. I'm just like, for me, I like to just bring joy to people, and I love to bring the community together. That's what I would love to see.
Erica says you're amazing. Well, Erica says we're both amazing, but she said it during the time that you were talking about your journey. So
thanks.
I know that she meant that for you in a big way.
Thanks, Erica.
Yeah,
I appreciate you and sending you shamazing love through the airwaves.
Yeah, because it's cold here. Why don't you blow blow some of that warm air you got in the Hawaii, blow it towards us. Just give us a little.
Yes. And one of these days I would love, that is my dream, is to go to Hawaii. I've never been.
Okay, let's go.
I've never been.
Yes. I think what I would really like to do is have my 60th birthday there. Because I wanted to do my 55th birthday there. Because in Hawaii, on the Big Island anyway, most places the speed limit is under 55. And so I wanted to have a I can't drive 55 birthday, because you really can't drive 55 on the island most places. And I thought it was funny. But maybe, you know, 60 is a good time to do a birthday party there. So everybody who's listening, who's interested, who wants to go and hang out with me on my 60th, start saving your dollars right now, because I'm not paying for everybody. But I will get the lodging, and people can come and stay and hang out. And I think that would be fun. Speaking of travel and lodging and going other places, we're going to be going on a trip soon, but before we get there, we have some fun things for folks to do in the upcoming days. We know that the holidays are kind of hard sometimes, and we want to create some times for us. So normally we've been doing the Cutie Connections on the second and fourth Wednesday, but we're switching it up a little bit this month, and we're going to do a Cutie Connection on the 21st of December. That day also happens to be the winter solstice. So we're going to do a winter solstice brunch at the Cutie Castle. We're going to have some opportunity for folks to set some intention be in space. We're just going to have some good food. We'll break out the waffle bar. I'll cook up some different meats, you know, have some eggs and some hash browns and some kind of lunch meaty, steaky, hamburger, hot dog, something like that for lunch, maybe tacos. And then we'll have a nice brunch, and then release people for the day to, you know, prepare and get ready for what they need to do for the holiday. And then the day before that, on the 20th, we're going to hang out at the Cutie Castle and do holiday cookies like we've done the last few years. And I think probably what we'll do is like what we did last year is we'll have some pre-made cookies and people can decorate them the way that they want. We might be making cookies on site. We know that our good friend Kevin Chaos Moore is an amazing cookie maker. And then we have a new friend of the our space Cutie Castle. And their name is Max, and they are a pastry chef. Yes. And so they're interested in maybe coming and helping us make some cookies.
Can we do a gingerbread house?
I don't see why not.
I feel like Kevin and I would throw down with the gingerbread house.
I don't see why not. We can make a gingerbread
house. I've always wanted to do one.
Let's do it. Why not?
I think it would be so fun.
I think it would be fun too.
Maybe so fun.
And then maybe we can have the pastry chef help us help oversee that.
Yes.
The build of that. Yeah. I love this idea.
I can envision all of the fun things. I feel like I could really decorate an amazing gingerbread house.
I feel like you could too. We made little mini ones last year.
Cute.
Three of them are still sitting on the mantle at the Cutie Castle.
I gotta see them.
Yeah, they're super cute. And then do you want to talk about what we're doing in January?
Yes, in January, there's some travel coming up. Myself, Rox, Anna, and some other amazing individuals with Rare Productions are going to be headed to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
for the upcoming Creating Change Conference.
That's right.
Which is coming up faster than you think. And yeah, it's of course going to be, you know, on high alert, of course.
Yeah.
But we're about to throw down. We're about to engage with really awesome, queer, fabulous people.
From all over the country.
All over
really,
the country.
All over the world.
All over the world
mm-hmm.
that we've met. I have made so many awesome friends and connections.
Yes.
I feel like every time I go, I have people shimmer, shimmer, shimmer.
You do.
They're just like excited. So I'm super excited. So that's coming up very soon. And next month, we'll talk all about that. We'll have something prepared for it. And when we go down there, I'll be doing some interviews.
Yeah,
some
you know,
interviews.
We're going to be rocking a solid crew. You know, our very own Sasha Bangs is going to be doing some DJ work down there because, you know, I like to say stay ready so you don't have to get ready. We
yes.
weren't exactly ready, but because Sasha is such a dope DJ, I was able to recommend and throw her name in the hat. And then when there was a DJ shortage, Sasha was able to step into that role. That's a little lesson that I learned a long time ago from a book called Swimming with the Sharks. Les Brown, who's also an amazing, amazing DJ, and ended up marrying Anita Baker. That cat taught me to be ready, to always be prepared. As soon as I was able, I started talking up Sasha, started telling my friend who does some connection with the, you know, with the entertainment that she was there, she was available. If something happened and they needed a DJ, there was an amazing DJ with us. And due to that, plus our network that we've created over the last 5 years with the Peacock Rebellion, we were able to source the equipment needed, and Sasha was able to take the stage and bang out the ball for the conference last year. So Sasha's going to be doing that, and then our very own Nick is going to be doing some organizing with the Two-Spirit track. Also a thing where we just said, hey, this person wants to engage. They have something to offer. They have a skill to offer. And so Nick's going to be doing that. And then you're going to be doing some interviewing. I'm going to be doing some workshop stuff around sexual liberation and also disability. This year I've been called into helping with the disability track, which is something new and different for me and something that I don't take up a lot of space in, but as I age and my disability progresses, I feel like there's a voice, there's something for me to say in that. And so I'm super excited to be part of the disability team, disability track, and holding some space for a caucus in that realm, and that'll be something new for me to do at Creating Change.
So fun. I'm excited. I cannot wait.
Plus, there's just fun stuff to do. Like,
yeah.
I definitely want to go to the African American Museum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the zoo. I've been to the zoo, and I can't wait.
You've been to the Washington, D.C. Zoo?
When that was my very first Creating Change.
Oh, yeah.
And, yes. And actually, I have, and that's where I met the district. I met Miss USA. Deshauna Barber
yeah.
is from Washington, D.C., and I reached out to her, and we're going to have lunch together.
Okay. See, that says something about the history, and since we're at the end of the show, we can start where we close where we started, and that's with relationships.
Yes.
And we've been in this relationship of love for a really long time, Shimmer, and I'm super excited that we're going to be going to Creating Change again and doing what we do really well, which is build those relationships, make those connections. I've seen you do the same thing that I've done for you, and that's introduce folks. I've seen you bring people over to Bambi and other, you know, like queer trans icons and make that connection and make that introduction. And that's what it's all about.
I can't wait. I'm excited. We have a big show planned next month, so stay tuned. We're going to talk all about Washington, D.C. and so much more. And I'm just excited, and I cannot wait. And thanks, Rox, so much. Beautiful show tonight. It went so fast.
So fast.
Stay tuned because Travorama Fa-Fa-Fa is up next. We're going to close up because, you know, the holidays approaching. I think the perfect close-out song for tonight is Eartha Kitt with Santa Baby.
Yes, let's do it.
So here is the one and only, the legendary, the iconic Catwoman, Eartha Kitt with Santa Baby. Stay tuned because Travorama Fa-Fa-Fa is up shortly right here on KFAI Radio. Good evening. Have a good night. Boom, 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 boom.